Chapter 6 Why Do We Forget Things? What would life be like if we never forgot anything? Or if we never remembered anything? Before I answer this question, it is necessary to explain the memory process. There is short-term memory and long-term memory according to the stage theory of memory. However, there may also be a sensory memory, which is part of some theoretical schemes, the model suggested by Richard Atkinson and Richard Schifrin. The system works as follows. Information enters the sense organs and is stored in sensory memory, also called the sensory register, for a time interval ranging from a fraction of a second to a few seconds. Note, there might be some question as whether or not there really is a sensory memory sensory register. We can evaluate this for ourselves. We can experience sensory memory by very quickly interrupting our line of sight. If this is done for a fraction of a second, 1/10 or less, the image essentially does not disappear from sight. We can achieve this by looking through a rapidly moving fan blade. The mechanism for sensory memory might be partly or totally in the sense organs themselves. That is, when a sense organ is stimulated, it can continue to give a sensation for a fraction of a second after the stimulus is removed. However, one can argue that this is not truly memory, it can only last for a fraction of a second, and perhaps this component of the Richard Atkinson, Richard Schifrin model is only theoretical. They did postulate a longer time interval than the above. If we slightly focus our attention on the stimuli, stored in sensory memory, it will enter short-term memory. This memory is a temporary storage area where information is held for a number of seconds, generally no more than 20 to 30 seconds. This storage is quite limited. Approximately 5 to 7 chunks of information can generally be retained by the average person. If we rehearse the information and/or focus prolonged attention on the material, it will be transferred to long-term memory. Long-term memory is, for all practical purposes, an unlimited storage system. Memories stored in long-term memory can last a lifetime. To understand this model, I must return to a further explanation of short-term memory. When we think or perform a task from memory, we first must retrieve information from long-term memory into short-term memory. The information can be rearranged in this memory and then stored in an additional new form in long-term memory. Our thinking and self-awareness take place in short-term memory. Short-term memory is essentially the area of memory where information is processed in various ways. It is essentially equivalent to the random access memory of a computer. I will modify and advance the above model of memory by showing or perhaps postulating that there are many types of memory, which relate to different types of sensory input. If we place the sensations that human beings experience into 6 categories, then there are 6 types of short-term memory and 6 types of long-term memory. That is, there is visual short-term memory, visual long-term memory, audio short-term memory, audio long-term memory, tactile short-term memory, tactile long-term memory, kinesthesis short and long-term memory, olfactory short and long-term memory, and a short and long-term memory of the sense of taste. Each of the above can be considered a learning channel. Thus, there are 6 learning channels that relate to the senses, according to this modified version of the model. The first 3, visual, auditory, and tactile channels, are general learning channels. That is, language can be used with any of these channels, which permits the learning of a wide range of material through any of the 3 channels. For example, a blind person can learn about the world with the auditory channel, such as by listening to recorded books. A deaf person can learn with the visual channel, such as from sign language and reading. A deaf-blind person can learn about the world with the sense of touch. That is, there are languages that are transmitted through the sense of touch. Braille is one such language. Another tactile language involves communicating with the fingers by touching the hands of the listener. The other 3 channels are only useful for specific types of learning, because there is no language for these channels. However, it might be possible to create a language that would work with these channels. A real possibility is with the kinesthesis channel, such as basing the language on different positions of the hands and arms. From the above paragraphs, it becomes apparent that there are linguistic memory and non-linguistic memory, which also suggests that there are linguistic and non-linguistic learning channels. That is, we have a long and short-term memory that relates to language, and another that relates to non-linguistic experiences. An example of linguistic memory is remembering a telephone number, which could be retained temporarily in short-term memory or remembered for a lifetime in long-term memory. The non-linguistic short- and long-term memory can involve such factors as the shape, texture, color, smell, and taste of various objects. For example, we remember the location of various entities in our environment, such as where the bathroom is located. Language might reinforce non-linguistic short- and long-term memory in some cases. For example, we might have a visual memory of a tomato that incorporates both its shape and color. This memory might be reinforced with language, if we remember the shape as spherical and the color as red. Thus, linguistic and non-linguistic learning can reinforce each other. Why do we forget things? To answer this question, we have to make a distinction between short-term memory and long-term memory. Short-term memory is memory that lasts for a matter of seconds. It is believed that this memory is the result of active nerve impulses that must continue in an active state to maintain the memory. That is, it is similar to the random access memory in a computer. If the active state ceases, which could happen by focusing attention on a different subject, we will forget what was stored in short-term memory. This is similar to turning a computer off. All the data that was in random access memory is lost, unless it was also stored in long-term memory, which is the computer's hard drive. Thus, we forget things in short-term memory because we must maintain an active neurological state that maintains the memory. As soon as this active neurological state ceases, we forget what was in our memory was in short. Another way of stating this is the specific neurological pulses that maintain a specific segment of information in short-term memory decay as soon as we focus our attention on another subject. Short-term memory is a temporary storage system. The only way that we can maintain a memory for any length of time is to transfer it to long-term memory, which is discussed below. Long-term memory is believed to be essentially a permanent storage system. Theoretical models state that there is either a permanent change in chemical or neurological structures, which stores the memory. The stored bits of information are sometimes called memory traces. But if it is permanent, why do we forget things in long-term memory? According to theory, there are a number of reasons why we forget things in long-term memory, which will be discussed in the following paragraphs. To become aware of material in long-term memory, that is, to remember the material, we have to find where we stored the memory traces. That is, we have to retrieve the memories. One of the reasons we forget things is because we cannot retrieve the memory traces, which is essentially the same as saying we cannot find it. Retrieval failure can be thought of as not having enough cues available at the time to find the location of the material that one wants to recall. We probably know this phenomenon from experience. We may have seen a person's name on the tip of our tongue, but we just cannot remember. However, after a period of time, perhaps in a different context, we might not have any difficulty remembering. However, there are probably memory traces that cannot be retrieved under ordinary circumstances. These lost memories might be retrieved under special circumstances, such as continuously trying to remember the material over an extended period of time, returning to a specific context, writing and rewriting about the material. Note: writing can bring back lost memories very effectively. The idea is to write whatever is remembered and leave gaps for material that is not remembered. Then try to fill in the missing pieces of information later. If this method is done over an extended period of time, it is even more effective. End of note. Note: the word context is used in this text in a very general sense. It means the physical location and all the sensory stimuli associated with the location. It also means all the data surrounding an idea. For example, if we learn the law of conservation of energy in a physics book that has one context, we might come across that identical law in a biology book, which is a different context than the physics book. End of note. Information that the human being learns in one context may not be remembered in a different context. This is reminiscent of the computer storing a file in a specific directory. If you try to retrieve that file without knowing the directory, it might be almost impossible. If you are in a different directory than the file's directory, you generally cannot access that file unless you are able to change the directory. This tells us how we can circumvent one difficulty of recalling information. Study the information in a number of contexts, especially the contexts that the information will be needed, which also creates more retrieval cues. This is similar to storing the same computer file in a number of directories. However, retrieval failure is not the only way we can forget material in long-term memory. Memories decay with time when the memorized material is not used. An example is if we learned how to speak a foreign language in high school and never used the language after graduation, the ability to use the language, without further study, will deteriorate. That is, we probably would not be able to speak the language years later. The decay process is probably even more significant as the aging process sets in. Another way that we can forget things in long-term memory is by interference, which means material learned blocks or confuses the recall of other material. There are two types of interference. One is proactive interference, and the other is retroactive interference. Proactive interference is a situation when old material, in long-term memory, causes interference with the recall of newly learned information. Retroactive interference is a situation where newly memorized material causes interference with the recall of old memories. Still another way that we can forget information stored in long-term memory is motivated forgetting. That is, under certain conditions, unpleasant events might not be remembered because they are very unpleasant. Perhaps in some of these situations the individual simply does not want to remember the unpleasant event. The motivation, not wanting to remember, might be on an unconscious level. Note, of course, this is certainly not true with all unpleasant events. Often unpleasant events are remembered more than ordinary events. Very unpleasant events that are of a historical nature can strengthen the memories of the time interval when the individual heard the bad news, as if a picture was taken with a flashbulb. In fact, the phenomenon is called flashbulb memories. The individual remembers exactly where she was and what she was doing when she heard the bad news. Probably most people can tell you what they were doing when they heard about the space shuttle explosion. End of note. Another theoretical possibility for long-term memory failure is called consolidation failure. This results when newly memorized material does not have time to consolidate into firmly implanted long-term memory traces. This condition can be seen when an individual experiences a neurological disruption such as a seizure or severe blow on the head. Some or all memories of the new events just prior to the disruption might not be remembered. And of course, there is the obvious, information might not be recalled because the information never made it past short-term memory. This is called encoding failure. In this type of failure, the information was never really learned. What would life be like if we never forgot anything? It is necessary to answer this question from the perspectives of short-term memory and long-term memory. The reason for this will be obvious in the following paragraphs. If we never forgot anything from short-term memory, we would not be able to function. Our memory would be clogged with information in a matter of seconds. When we think or process information on a conscious level, we use short-term memory. If the memory was clogged, we could not process any new information. Simply stated, we would not be able to think or perform any task that required thinking if we remembered everything fed into short-term memory. Incidentally, this happens sometimes with a computer. The random access memory is the computer's short-term memory. When this memory is nearly filled to capacity, the computer will continue to operate if data is removed from random access memory. If the memory is filled to capacity, new information cannot be processed. When the new data is placed into the system for processing, the computer stops operating. Probably something similar would happen if human beings never forgot information stored in short-term memory. Microsoft Windows operating software has a special feature that helps the computer to forget unnecessary information, at least temporarily. The Windows software instructs the computer to transfer excess data to the hard drive, which frees the random access memory. The point is that we have found it necessary to make computers forget information in its short-term memory, which certainly suggests the utility of the forgetting process. If we never forgot anything from long-term memory, we would have a tremendous store of knowledge. This assumes that there would be no deterioration of the memory traces and we would have no trouble retrieving the memories. If we were able to remember all the information that we stored in long-term memory, we would never forget the details of the course material we learned. We would probably all do much better in school. There would be little or no need to review material before a test, assuming the material was already learned one time. Of course, we cannot really be sure what would really happen if we retained everything in long-term memory. There might be some unforeseen problems if we never forgot material placed in memory storage. Long-term memory is believed to be an unlimited storage system for all practical purposes. However, if the known principles of information storage are considered, we must conclude that there is a limit of the amount of material that can be stored in long-term memory. Perhaps no individual ever reached this limit. However, if we retained everything we experienced and stored it in long-term memory, it might actually get filled to capacity. If this happened, we would not be able to use our long-term memory for new information. We would have an excellent memory for past events, but we would not be able to remember any new information for more than a few seconds. What would life be like if we never remembered anything? If we never remembered anything, we would not be aware of anything we experienced in the past. We would have no sense of self. We would not know who we were. We could only live in the present. We could not learn even the simplest task, because all learning requires memory. Thus, we could not read, write, or even talk or walk. We could not make friends, and we would not even know our closest relatives. An individual without a memory could not really survive without the assistance of others. It is necessary to obtain food and water to survive, and such an individual would not remember where and how to find food and water.